Elise, you're very welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me, Amber.
I'm delighted to have you here. So to start off, I want you to tell us a little bit about your career to date. So I know you spent almost 20 years, I think, working for like really big companies in the tech sector in Dublin. So tell us a little bit about the work you've done and who you've done it for.
Thanks so much, Amber. I'm originally from Tralee. I recently relocated back here after 20 years in Dublin, but the work I do is incredibly global. I'm the head of trust and safety for EMEA at Web Purify, an InTouch CX company, and we're a company that helps online platforms around the world detect and remove harmful or illegal content, from hate speech and scams to child safety risks. My background is in tech policy and online safety. I've spent well over a decade at this stage working with global platforms like Google, TikTok, Twitter and Airbnb. And what I have done is help them to design policies to protect users while still allowing creativity and free expression. What's nice now is that I get to do this work from my home office in Kerry, collaborating every day with teams in the US, in Europe and beyond. But before moving into tech, I actually trained and worked as a barrister in Dublin, focusing on criminal law. And that gave me this amazing grounding for when I moved into tech and designing safe communities online, because the criminal courts, they really teach you so much about human behaviour, mitigations, and tackling those learnings to help write the rules for how people ought to behave online is a huge challenge.
Really interesting work. You mentioned obviously you decided to move home. Were you fearful maybe in making that decision that you mightn't have the opportunities maybe down here in Kerry, or has the ability maybe to work remotely been a huge advantage because it's given you those opportunities no matter where you're located?
Working remotely has been a phenomenal opportunity, I think, across the board. And, you know, there would have been a time that my job and the work that I do would have been viewed as impossible to do remotely. But COVID changed everything, and that normalised us being able to do work and do work exceptionally well without having to be in the heart of an office building. You know, you don't necessarily have to have these water cooler moments that people talk about. Actually, some of the best work, some of the most thoughtful work, especially in talking about online safety, is to be online, because you're exploring that ecosystem and you're able then to make suggestions and make recommendations based on your lived experience as well. So yeah, it has been an extraordinary opportunity. Web Purify has a fully remote working policy, and that has then facilitated my being able to move from Dublin down to my hometown with my family.
Fantastic. It's great that you can have such a high-tech job, I suppose, based here in Kerry as well. And we hear so much about remote working, and I know people have different views. There's positives, there's negatives associated, but it really does open up those opportunities for people, doesn't it? Which is fantastic, really.
Absolutely. And the thing is that there's so much talent out there. And it strikes me as so unusual when I hear of businesses reflecting on remote working in anything other than a positive way. It opens you up to extraordinary opportunities in terms of being able to hire talent from all over. And for, you know, the benefits also of people being able to have a work-life balance that means that they're not spending sometimes 2, sometimes 3 hours commuting. They can spend that time better, either performing their best work or indeed spending time with their families to facilitate them performing their best work the next day. So for me, it's a no-brainer. And thankfully, I work for an organization who also sees the tremendous benefits of it.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And Elise, I know now you mentioned as well that you're the lead trust and safety for EMEA at Web Purify. So as you said earlier, it was working with global tech firms to make the internet safer for everyone. So explain to us a little bit about what a typical day might be like for you.
Sure. In fact, what I might start is to kind of demystify what that phrase trust and safety is for listeners. Trust and safety is essentially the team within a platform, like a social media platform like TikTok or Instagram, or an online marketplace like Amazon or Temu. I'm sure a lot of people are spending a lot of time there at the moment in the lead up to Christmas. But this is the team in those platforms responsible for keeping people using that platform safe when they use it. So this is the team that decides what's allowed on the platform. What counts maybe as harassment? What counts as hate speech? What counts as fraud? And how the company then responds when something goes wrong? It's actually a relatively new field. we're talking only in the last, you know, 15, 16 years has it started to even exist. But it's now central to how billions of people experience the internet. So it kind of doesn't really matter whether you're based in Dubai or in Dingle, in London or in Listowel, we're all impacted by online safety in the same way. And, you know, the tricky part is that these decisions on what's allowed, what's not allowed on a platform, they're never black and white. Mm-hmm. They're never straightforward. You're constantly balancing safety, privacy, freedom of expression, and business interests as well. So it's a really interesting field because there is no right answer. You're working in grey area decision making all the time. And oftentimes you're thinking, what is the least worst outcome? And that sometimes is the best.
Okay, really interesting. And I can imagine quite a lot to take in every day as well. There seems to be so much to it. I suppose in terms of the risks that are online, are they kind of growing maybe? And what typically would they be?
The risks have grown certainly because we're spending so much more of our lives online. It's become such a fundamental part of how we exist, whether that's through banking, whether it's through education, whether it's through community. We live so much of our lives, and that means then that the risk exposure is greater. What has also happened as well is the professionalization of misuse of the internet. And I'll explain that a little bit. In COVID times, we saw a massive surge in fraudulent and scam activities online because people were essentially sitting ducks in the sense that they were now forced into an online experience, an online world, many of them not ready for that. And it doesn't take long for criminal organizations to see opportunity there. And it quickly happened where then, and like I mentioned, the professionalization of fraud and scams. So imagine the equivalent of a company, but that company's objective isn't to keep users safe, it's to exploit them. But they're operating like a business with strategy, with purpose, with KPIs. So it is kind of frightening in some ways, but unless we think about risks online through that lens, we're never going to tackle them in a meaningful way. So we need to see online risks, safety issues, as something that isn't just a group of teenagers, you know, messing with their laptops. They have recruited, they have maintained, they have adopted tactics akin to some of the best and biggest consultancy companies in the world. So in a way, yeah, the risks have grown. I'm optimistic because I also know that there is huge teams in the background that maybe people don't realize exist in these big tech companies. You know, when I talk about trust and safety teams, not a lot of people know what I'm talking about. And I suppose what's important is for people to understand that there are these teams that exist and they are just doing that, looking to take down this type of risk to make the internet a much safer place for everyone. So it's scary on one hand, but also optimistic in the other. It is going to be hard to tackle, but we've got some incredibly capable people who are doing that work across the globe on all of these different platforms.
Yeah, well, that's great to hear. I suppose, speaking of that, what kind of work is being done, I suppose, to keep people safe online at the moment?
One of the biggest things that has been strategic on the part of all of these platforms that exist, who are oftentimes suffering from the same impacts or seeing the same types of behaviours, is that they're no longer working in silos to combat these risks, these safety issues. They have in the last couple of years realized that one of the greatest solutions that they can use is through collaboration. And by collaborating together and making sure that where a risk exists on one platform, it doesn't end when it moves to the next platform. That instead you have collaboration across these global platforms that make sure that it's not whack-a-mole, that there is a collaborative strategy. And so you see this in the industry, the likes of Google, the likes of TikTok, the likes of, you know, big online marketplaces. seeing that actually they're much stronger working together to tackle these things than they are trying to do it individually. So that's been really incredible to see that develop. The other things that they're doing, which is incredibly important, is education. Platforms aren't solely responsible for keeping users safe online. It has to be a combination of platforms, of regulators, and also users. And making sure that education hits in the way that it ought to, as in that is, you know, educating people or showcasing the types of risks that exist in plain language, in language that people understand. The use of storytelling, making it part of the use of the platform. So whether you're using social media or whether you're buying something for somebody online, that you understand what types of risks there are. That's one of the things that companies are developing, is that ability to understand their audience, understand their users in a way that helps them keep themselves safe as well, because it is a combined effort and education is a key piece of that.
Okay, that's really interesting to hear and great to hear, I suppose, that it is a combined effort. Elish, I know you've also launched a podcast as well, and it's called Trust Issues. What prompted you maybe to go down the road of podcasting?
Well, it's interesting. The idea of Trust Issues, which is a play on the name of these teams, Trust and Safety, it started when I took part in a podcasting course at the RDI Hub in Killorglin. And I've always felt that there was a disproportionate knowledge gap in online safety when using apps and social media. And I alluded to that earlier. There needs to be more education around online safety. And this is my humble effort to do that. I say disproportionate because we are living our lives online. Whether you're working or you're shopping or you're banking, you're communicating with friends, family, forging connections online. And for the time we spend, we as a society are not as knowledgeable as we could be. So I wanted to empower people with access to information. And, you know, podcasts, they're such a great way to do that, as you can pop in your headphones when you're out for a walk or a run, you know, when you're going for your drive, even if you're filling the dishwasher. And the podcasting course gave me the confidence and the practical tools to turn a professional idea into a real show. In the first week alone, after its release, the data for Trust Issues indicates it's already in the top 50% of podcasters globally, which is really encouraging. Thinking, like, when you think about it, there are over 5 million podcasts on Spotify with tens of thousands launching every month. So the fact that Trust Issues landed in the top 50% in its first week is incredibly encouraging, and also an indication that people have an appetite for more information around this. So obviously, you know, we're not competing with the giants, but what the data clearly shows is that there is an appetite for a podcast of this nature, a non-celebrity show about online safety. And yeah, it's lovely that something that started here in Kerry is also now reaching a global audience.
It is. It's fantastic. Congratulations. That's brilliant to hear. And it's great to hear that there's such interest in it as well, which is fabulous. What kind of topics do you talk about on the podcast?
Well, in the first episode, I actually spoke with a fantastic woman called Cecilia Fellhoy from Netflix's The Tinder Swindler. Now, some people might be familiar with that show. It kind of took off, especially in around COVID. Cecilia was a victim of a romance scam that became a global phenomenon. It ended up causing her to lose hundreds of thousands of euro. And Cecilia is now a fraud victim advocate, spreading awareness and crucially guidance on what platforms can do better to protect people and what people can do for themselves. Then we had an incredible person from Google, from their anti-fraud team. He created Be Scam Ready. It's this really smart game that helps people learn to spot scams before they happen. And what I loved about that conversation with Abhishek is his focus is on building resistance, not just writing stricter rules. So this is a game everyone, young or old, can play, and it's scientifically proven to help build resilience to scams. In our most recent episode then, I spoke with Dr. Tracy Elizabeth, who's an online youth safety expert, about Instagram and their new teen content ratings. It's a bit like PG film classifications. So we talked about what that means for teenagers and how parents can better understand and guide what their kids are seeing online. And it's just a really valuable listen for any parent. We've also got really exciting episodes coming up, including with Blue Sky and one with insiders from Roblox, which I think a lot of parents of young gamers will be very interested in. Ultimately, Amber, we cover everything from scams and fraud to teen safety, misinformation, algorithms and AI. And the aim is to make online safety understandable for everyone. People are clearly hungry to learn more, take their online experiences into their own hands. And as I mentioned, the responsibility for online safety, it doesn't lie in one entity's hands. It's a collective responsibility.
Brilliant. It sounds fantastic and great topics as well that, you know, cover all ages, which is lovely to see as well. Just before we finish up, Ailish, when you look to the next maybe 5 years or so, probably a broad enough question for you given how quickly things are changing online, but where do you see us maybe in terms of online safety?
I'm actually really optimistic about the future of online safety, Amber. For the first time, we're seeing governments, tech companies, educators and parents all pulling in the same direction. The systems are getting smarter, the public is getting more aware, and conversations like this on local radio, in schools, around kitchen tables are happening more than ever. So I think in the next few years, it will be about people feeling more confident, not more afraid. And for that, I think that the future for online safety is really bright. We've all got trust issues when it comes to the internet, but hopefully this podcast helps us understand them a little better. It's available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and YouTube.
That's fantastic to hear. Well, it's been lovely to talk to you and to hear about all the great work that you're doing, Ailish. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much.